understand the story today and the reading, and especially the use of the allegory that Paul has here in Galatians chapter 4, you kind of have to understand and remember what was going on. What happened to Abram and Sarah? What had been promised to them? Abram and Sarah had been promised children like the stars up in the heavens and the sands by the seashore. They had been promised to be the parents of many people, of many nations. They had been promised they would have many children, and yet they were old. Abram was old. Sarah was old. Sarah had been barren when she was young. Now that she's old, it's insane to think that they could have children together, that they could possibly reproduce at all. And yet God is saying to them, you will have children as numerous as the stars up in the sky and the sands by the seashore. You will have that many children. That's insane to believe that. God, you don't know anything about biology. You don't know anything about menopause. You don't know anything about old age. Sounds crazy, doesn't it, Margaret? So, Sarah says, since God doesn't know what God's doing, we'll get God's job done for God. I mean, we know about this stuff. We know about sex. We know about reproduction. We know that it being old doesn't work. So, Abram, I have a young handmaid. Her name is Hagar. I want you to take her and go into that tent over there and produce a child with her, and that will be then adopted by us to be the child that will start children like the stars up in the heavens and the sand by the seashore. Since God doesn't seem to know anything about biology, since God doesn't seem to understand that I'm old, Sarah says, therefore, we'll do it this way. We'll get God's job done for God this way. Just go in over there and have a kid with Hagar. Now, I'm sure that Abram didn't have to be beaten into doing it. I mean, I'm sure he just went. And they had a kid. Abram and Hagar had a kid. They named him Ishmael. And as Ishmael grew up, we learned that he and his mother believed that he ought to have preeminence, that he ought to be the recipient of the promises, and yes, that his descendants should be as numerous as the sands by the seashore and the stars up in the heavens. This wasn't the child, though. This was not the child. Ishmael was wonderful. He was a gift from God, but he was not the child of promise. He was the child of Abram and Hagar, with Sarah's little manipulations going on in between, producing and getting God's job done for God the human way, depending upon human ability, human strength, human understanding, human power. That's not the child of promise. God comes and tells Sarah, uh-uh. Yes, Abram, but you, Sarah. Sarah, you and Abram together are going to have a child. And at first she laughs. You're crazy. No, I'm not crazy, God says. You're going to have a child. A year from now, you're going to have a baby. And it will be a miraculous gift. And a child of faith and grace. A child of promise. And they did. Abram and Sarah finally did what you gotta do to make a baby. Even though they were old. And Isaac was conceived. And Isaac, the child of promise, the miracle baby, Isaac was born. And as the child of promise was born and raised up, Abram and Sarah obviously wanted him to be the firstborn, him to get the promises, him to have preeminence. But he wasn't Abram's firstborn. Ishmael was. And Ishmael and Hagar thought, well, Ishmael ought to get it all. Nuh-uh. And they started fighting in the family like families do. You ever seen families fight over who ought to get what when somebody dies? Well, it was a big fight even before Abram died. And they ended up banishing Hagar. and Ishmael to the wilderness. And God gave Ishmael promises. Promises that he would be a great nation and a powerful nation. And looking through history, we see those promises were fulfilled indeed in the descendants of Ishmael, in the Arabs of today. We see the promises for Ishmael fulfilled. But the child of promise was Isaac. Isaac, the product of Abram and Sarah's loving faith. Willingness to do what God said. Willingness to trust that what God promised would come to pass if only they would act in faith. And they did. And Isaac was conceived and born. That's the context. The Jewish Christian community, like the Jews as well, they were proud of their ancestry. They are the children of Abraham. They are the children of promise, the chosen people of God, the people whom God have chosen to represent the light of God in all the world. They are the city on the hill. They are the chosen people of God. They are to be as numerous as the stars in the heaven and the sands by the seashore. The Jewish Christians were proud of this. And that's what makes what Paul says here in the letter to the Galatians so incredibly scandalous. An amazing scandal to say, no. You may be the descendants of Abraham by birth. You may be the descendants of Isaac by birth. But the true descendants of Abraham, the true descendants of Isaac, the true children of promise are those who do what Abraham did, are those who live by faith, are those who trust in God's grace, are those who depend upon the promises of God. Those are the true children, the true descendants of Abraham and Sarah. The true children of God, the true children of promise are those who live by faith and trust in God. Not genetics, not bloodline, faith and grace. This was a scandal. A scandal to the Jewish Christians, a scandal to the Jewish community at large. Because what Paul is saying here is that these Gentiles are the children of promise. Look at the allegory here, the story. He says that Abram and Hagar producing children are the equivalent, Ishmael, are the equivalent of the Jerusalems that are here, that are now, that are today. The Jerusalem church, the Jewish Christian community that was telling the Gentiles to really be a Christian, men, you've got to get circumcised. To really be Christians, you've got to cook kosher. To really be a Christian, you've got to do all of the law. The do-dos and the don't-dos of the faith. The do-dos and the don't-dos of the covenant. A whole lot of do-do and don't do. Oh, come at it, come again? We can't be the children of Abram and Hagar. What are you talking about? Because you're trying to get God's will done your own way, with your own strength, with your own ability, with your own understanding, by following the law and trying to do the law to save yourselves. You are like Abram and Hagar in a tent producing Ishmaels. You are like Abram and Hagar in a tent, ignoring the promise of God and saying, since God doesn't seem to understand biology, we'll get God's job done for God the way we understand it. Not by faith and grace, but by doing the works of the law. By turning Gentiles into Jews, by circumcising and by cooking kosher and by wearing certain kinds of clothing, and by following blood purity laws, and by keeping feast days and Sabbath days and special high holy days and all the other stuff that comes with the Torah, we will apply our understanding of the Torah to these Gentiles, and we will make them into Jews, and then they will really truly be able to become the children of the promise by our understanding. And Paul is saying, no. The children of the promise are Abram and Sarah's kids. Those who are, for whom it was impossible, the Gentiles, it was impossible to become the children of God without becoming Jews. The Gentiles, acting by faith, becoming true heirs of Abraham. The Gentiles, acting by faith, the Gentile Christians, acting by faith, becoming true heirs of Abraham. They are the children of promise. They are the Jerusalem that is above, the Jerusalem that is free. Free from the law, free from its curse, free from its demands and requirements. Paul, writing to the Galatian church, was telling them, you are the children of promise. You were not born into the law. You were born as Gentiles. You've heard the gospel message, and you are like the children of Abraham and Sarah. Impossible, yet acts of faith have produced you. Now, why are you turning around and trying to become Ishmaels? Why are you turning around and trying to do God's job for God by your own understanding and your own strength and your own ability? Listen. I, Paul, am telling you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no benefit to you. If you're going to let yourself be circumcised in order to become a Christian, as if being circumcised or not being circumcised matter, if you think that being circumcised is going to make you be a better Christian or a Christian at all, then Christ becomes of no benefit to you. If you think that any work of the law, doing it, will make you a Christian, then Christ becomes of no benefit to you. Let's put this into modern terms. If you think that keeping a certain law, doing a certain good work, or not doing something will make you a Christian or a better Christian, then Christ has become of no benefit to you. Let's make it personal to the life and ministry and witness of this congregation. If you believe that not being a homosexual will make you a better Christian or a Christian at all, then Christ has become of no benefit to you. Huh? Yep. If salvation is not by works but by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, then the ability to keep any or all of the law becomes irrelevant. If salvation comes by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, then the ability to approximate all or part of the law becomes totally, completely irrelevant. That's according to Paul. In fact, if you think, as it says a little later here, if you think that keeping one, two, or three laws is going to save you, you're in trouble because you've got to keep it all, friends. If you're going to keep one of them, you've got to keep them all. The law is an all or nothing proposition. There is no gray zone there. The law itself tells us, you either keep it all or you set it aside and go by faith, as Abraham did. You either keep it all completely from day one, without any amendments or any twisting or any loopholes. You either keep it all or you go another direction for salvation. You either keep it all or you go another direction for sanctification and perfection. You either keep it all or you set it aside and live by faith, trusting in God's grace to live through us and transform us. It's not keeping the law. It's not circumcision. It's faith. Look at what Paul says towards the end of our reading for today. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything. The only thing that counts is faith working through love. The only thing that counts. Paul is often speaking in absolutes, and this absolute's important. The only thing that counts when it comes to salvation, when it comes to living a life in Christ Jesus, when it comes to being a child of promise, the only thing that matters, the only thing that counts is what? Faith working through love. Wow. Not just faith. Well, that one caught me by surprise. I thought it was faith only. Nope. Not just faith. Faith working through love. That's exactly what happened with Abram and Sarah. When their faith began to work through love, when they decided that they were going to do what God told them to do and produce Isaac, even though all of the biology told them it was impossible, all of their experience told them it was impossible, nevertheless, when they exercised their faith working in them through love and actually did what you're supposed to do, Isaac was conceived and Isaac was born. Likewise, when we act in faith, working through love, when we act in faith, loving others, reaching out as the hands and feet of Christ Jesus to all, speaking the good news of welcome to all without restriction, without appealing to the law and saying, well, you've got to do this one and this one and this one and this one. Now, the law does say you're supposed to do this grouping over here, but we don't like this grouping over here, so we'll kind of ignore it. But you've got to keep these groups here. You've got to keep doing this and this, and you've got to stop doing this and this. And if you do this, in addition to faith, guess what? You get to be saved. That's what the church is doing. That's what the church is doing. That's what was going on here in Galatia. The Jewish Christians came in and said, it's a good thing you got started. It's a good thing you're now part of the family. Welcome in. But guess what? You've got to add circumcision. You've got to add a dietary regulation. You've got to add all the other elements of the law that we have decided you should keep. But the church does it today. Welcome into the family of God. It is a good thing that you're now a Christian. But you've got to stop doing this and this and this and this and start doing this and this and this and this to stay in. Ooh. That's not the gospel. Faith working through love. Reaching out with the love of God to others. Sharing that love with all. Living by faith. That's what counts. Living and loving by faith. That's what counts. A little later on, you can look it up in your Bibles if you want to. A little later on, I wasn't going to do this, but I think it will. A little later on, here in chapter 5, Paul says that those who are so hung up on circumcision that they think it's necessary in order to be saved. Those who are so hung up on dietary regulations, they think you ought to keep them in order to be saved. Those who are so hung up on the law that they think that you've got to keep it in order to be saved. Those who believe that circumcision is necessary for salvation, I wish they'd just cut the whole thing off. Now, most translations say emasculate themselves. Or make eunuchs of themselves. Well, that's what he says. That's how serious he is on this subject. That's how important this subject is to him. It's not about doing the works of the law. Good works flow in response to grace and faith. Good works flow in response and as a manifestation of faith working through love. But they don't start the trip. And they don't save, and they don't sanctify. Good works are important, but they don't save, and they don't sanctify. And Paul's very clear. If you think that's the case, if you think that good works are necessary to save, if you think that you've got to keep the law, if you've got to keep circumcision in order to be saved, Well, you might as well just make yourself super sanctified, gentlemen, and get rid of it all. That's a really steep price, friends. And yet that's what the church does to us. That's what the church is constantly trying to do. Not necessarily this one. I'm talking about the church universal. We tend to do this all the time as Christians. Well, you can be saved, but you've got to do this. You can be saved, but. I hate that but. No, there are no buts with Jesus. There are no buts with Jesus. It's grace. Offering a relationship with God, offering a life with God, offering a life of faith through love with God. It's simply grace that calls the children of promise to respond by faith working through love. Let's be about that, my friends. Responding to the call of grace. Let's be about acting in faith. Working through love. The whole of the letter to the Galatians is a simple one. We'll continue next week by looking at the fruit of the Spirit, but for now, just grasp this. It's not about the law. It's about faith. It's not about what you can do. It's about what Jesus has done. It's not about our understanding and comprehension of the law. It's about what God does for us and to us and through us in Jesus Christ for us and for the world. It's not about doing the works of the law. It's about faith in Jesus Christ. It's about faith working through love. That's what the Christian life is about. Not do-do and not don't-do, but faith. Working through love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2010 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.